Inside Chicago Government.
It can be aimed at you and your home.
ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. He's here with me today. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm all fired up.
You're fired up, right?
Just reading today's newspaper has fired me up.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in The Reader on July 24th, 2014, titled Political Veteran Robert Shaw Sees No Reason Why He Can't Become Mayor. In this article, you profile former Chicago Alderman Robert Shaw.
One of my favorite political characters of all time.
So yes. You'll be voting for him, huh?
Well, I don't know. First of all, he has to make the ballot. Secondly, he has to come through on his pledge to run. Then he has to gather enough signatures to defeat any potential challenge. And then I have to see who else is running.
A lot of conditions there.
That's correct, Senator.
So listeners, if you haven't already figured out, Mr. Shaw has declared himself a candidate for Chicago mayor. Mm-hmm. Bob Shaw.
That's Robert Shaw, the former alderman, not the actor. A joke I made in the column, which I realized was lost on 99.9% of Chicago's readers because they don't know who Robert Shaw, the actor, is. But you know, don't you?
No.
You don't know? Have you ever seen Jaws?
Don't think so.
Oh, my God. Have you ever seen The Sting?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, he was the card shark and gambler that Redford and Newman fooled and tricked.
William Shatner was in that, wasn't he?
I think you're thinking of a movie called Star Trek.
Getting back to Bob Shaw.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bob Shaw has been Chicago alderman twice, commissioner of the Cook County Board of Review, and Inspector General for the Village of Dalton, while his twin brother, the late William Shaw, was the mayor of Dalton.
Ah, yes. The glory days of Dalton, and the Shaw boys were running the show.
So a little history now about when Shaw was alderman of the 9th Ward two different times.
That's correct.
That was in the 80s and the 90s, before the aughts.
Yeah.
What
fired me up originally on the aughts.
What neighborhoods did the 9th Ward comprise then?
Pretty much the same areas it comprises now. Roseland, this is the far southeast side of Chicago. Not the farthest southeast side. That would be
the 10th Ward.
Hegwish and South Deering and whatever. So this is Roseland, West Pullman. Those are the predominant areas.
It's like 110th.
Right, about 100th Michigan Avenue. If in your mind's eye, you can go like to 100th and Michigan Avenue to 110th. When you were a child attending Weber High, it was a white area. And then in the 70s and in the 80s, there was a demographic switch, and it's pretty much all black by now. And it's low income and kind of sort of a forgotten community, if you will. A lot of vacant lots. And Robert Shaw was a part of a tide of black aldermen who got elected in the 70s. He actually was first elected in 1979. The election of aldermen like Shaw sort of indicative of the demographic changes. There was a whole pattern that you saw in these neighborhoods when they went from white to black. It took a while, but eventually the local representation caught up with the demographic changes. So Robert Shaw was elected in 1979, and I personally moved to Chicago 2 years later, and I met him and interviewed him shortly after I moved to town. And he was an interesting character back then.
The second time Shaw lost an aldermanic election.
The first time he lost was because he endorsed Jane Byrne instead of Harold Washington in 83. He left the city council on his own after he was elected to the Board of Review, which, as you know, because you're a master of our property tax system, is the entity that doles out property tax breaks. He left and his son lost. His son, Herbert, who passed recently, ran for alderman against Anthony Beale.
You said that Shaw's former council seat was lost to allies of former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Who specifically are you talking about? Are you talking about Beale?
Yes, Anthony Beale was elected after he defeated Herbert Shaw. And it was sort of the Jackson-Shaw feud, which was very much alive in the late 90s and early 00s in Chicago and then to south suburbs. For reasons I never quite understood, Jesse Jackson Jr. really went strong after the Shaws. I'm not quite sure why. Jr. would probably say that Jesse Jackson Jr., believed in reform, and the Shaws were, of course, nothing more than machine aldermen, which the Shaws would be the first to tell you, yes, we are Democratic Party loyalists, but everybody is, including some of your father's biggest supporters. And by the way, we support your father. So I really never understood what drove this feud. It was fun to watch from afar. It was very passionate, and the tricks, the political tricks on both sides.
Drama.
The drama, yeah, and also tricks. Like the Shaws, I remember in one election, got on the ballot a candidate whose last, I think his name was Jackson. No hopes of confusing the voters.
I remember that.
You remember that? Got some guy named Jackson. You know, you can never overestimate the intelligence of a Chicago voter. So let's throw a guy in their name. Anyway, it didn't work. Jesse Jackson Jr. Was reelected. But they were always fighting, and it was always kind of a colorful fight.
Shaw told you that his years in politics make him, quote, eminently qualified, unquote, to serve as mayor of Chicago. Often when we speak of people getting elected to offices such as mayor, we talk about things like how much money they need to win or who they're aligned with, but we seldom talk about what you should have on your resume to be a competent mayor, a mayor who's good for Chicago. We were talking a little while ago about this with respect to the city council budget analyst.
Yes.
What job-related skills do you think Bob Shaw brings to the mayor's office?
Oh, he was an alderman for how many years? So he's seen every kind of deal come before the city council. He knows how the city works. He knows how the zoning process works. He knows the different players, the different pressures. He knows what a lawyer, when he comes before the city, is advocating on behalf of a client, that that's a special interest and that the city should have a different perspective. Whether you think that Bob Shaw will have sort of the fortitude or integrity to stand up to these powerful interests is a whole separate issue. But he understands how the game is played. He's not going to pretend that it's anything other than it is. One of my many criticisms of Mayor Rahm's administration is that he's pretended he's reformed it. Well, when everybody in Chicago knows that nothing's really changed in a substantial way, you know, it's powerful interests using whatever pressure points they have to get some favorable deal from the city, and they've largely been successful. The one instance I can think where the mayor has stood up against a powerful interest was in the ongoing fight with the Park Grill, which, of course, is a fight that he inherited from Mayor Daley. Mayor Daley approved the sweetheart deal, then turned against it, and Mayor Rahm has continued that fight. So I applaud them for continuing that fight. But my larger point here is that a guy like Shaw understands fundamentally all the different players and all the different pressures that come before the city. So, you know, presumably he wouldn't even begin with the pretense that this was a reform city.
When you and I have spoken with people who repeatedly voted for Richard M. Daley for mayor, I think we both agree that one of the things that people have said is they wanted a strong mayor. Mm-hmm. I think that's another reason that people voted for Rahm Emanuel.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you think that Shaw would appeal, if they saw him in this light, he would appeal for the same reason, as opposed to some of these other candidates who have no experience in government?
That's a great question, Dave. And really, it's calling a strong mayor such a loaded term. And I've come to the conclusion that I think it's a code word for strong white mayor.
Ah.
I think that many Chicagoans took a look at the fight that emerged from the Harold Washington years when a strong black man was running the city, okay, who stood up for what he believed and did not bend over or fall back in the face of pressure. And it came to the conclusion, we don't want this anymore. We want a strong white guy. That's my personal belief. So when you get into the whole notion of what people mean when they say, I want a strong mayor, I think essentially they're saying they want someone who will be guaranteed reelection year after year. So there's a certain amount of stability there. It's the same person who will always look out for the better needs of the business community and will, this is where it gets into it, not raise property taxes. So we have this pretense. Of course, property taxes go up every year. They all raise property taxes, particularly through the TIF program, but they try to limit the amount of raise, and they look for alternatives like this crazy phone tax that they're about to implement. So that's what I think people are talking about, a strong mayor. And I don't think Robert Shaw fits those categories. First of all, he's a black man. When he talks about the need for city government to be more inclusive and fairer to poor black communities. So that's not traditionally what voters want when they talk about a strong mayor. If anything, they want the city to cut off funding for those communities.
A related question, Shaw promises that if elected as mayor, he'll make sure the city has more black homicide detectives. He told you, quote, it's a simple fact that we need more black homicide detectives to help solve these crimes, unquote. What do you think of his assertion?
Wow, that caught me off guard when he said it, and he repeated it a couple times in the course of our interview, and I didn't know what to think of it. The whole issue of what to do with the gun violence in Chicago eludes me. It's such a complicated matter. We've talked about this in the past. I'd never heard anything as practical a suggestion as hiring more black homicide detectives, so specific in nature, caught me off guard, as though there would be more arrests, legitimate arrests of real offenders if black homicide detectives were investigating the crimes as opposed to the white homicide investigators. I'm not sure I agree with that point. I personally do believe there should be more black homicide detectives and more black policemen in general, but I'm not certain that that's the reason why there's so much crime in poor black communities. I think that may be an instance where the great Alderman Shaw and I disagree on something. It wouldn't be the first time we disagreed on something. We disagreed on who to vote for in 1983. He supported Jane Burton. I supported Harold Washington.
Now having a plaza named after her.
That is correct.
As long as we're talking about things mayoral, now I want to talk about your article that appeared in The Reader on July 17th, 2014, which you co-wrote with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke.
titled, In Mayoral Fundraising, Emanuel Sets the Rules. Online, it has the additional words, and brings in the money. You write how Rahm Emanuel and his supporters have raised many millions of dollars in campaign funds by taking advantage of weak campaign finance laws and apparently sidestepping executive orders created by Emanuel himself. One thing I don't hear a lot about is what exactly all this cash buys. Obviously, TV ads cost lots of money, but who are the other people on the ultimate receiving end of all the cash in Chicago mayoral elections?
There's two separate funds we've got going at the mayor's own personal campaign fund, which he'll spend to reelect himself. And then there's this PAC. What's it called? Chicago Forward? Forward Chicago?
Something.
Well, listeners, call in with the name.
Which is legally to do no coordination with the mayor's campaign.
That is correct. But wink, wink, my old friend Becky Carroll is running it. And she, of course, is Mayor Rahm's last spokesperson over at the Board of Education. So very close to Mayor Rahm. So I think everyone in Chicago understands that Mayor Rahm is controlling that PAC. My guess is that PAC will finance negative commercials against whoever is seriously challenging the mayor, if anyone is seriously challenging the mayor. So look for a lot of negative commercials to say about Karen Lewis or Bob Shaw or whoever. I doubt they'd waste their time at Shaw because I don't think they'd take him as a serious challenger. But Bob Fioretti. If Tony Preckwinkle had the guts to run, it would have been against Tony Preckwinkle. And then in addition to that, they'll finance campaigns against aldermen who've dared to criticize the mayor.
So all this takes the form of advertising.
Yeah, my guess is that's what they're looking for, advertising, flyers, things that you get in the mail. In Chicago, that's a big deal, as you know. We get flooded with them, and they're all apocalyptic and gloomy and doomy, and they make these horrendous accusations against various, you know, candidates. I advise people not to believe anything you read in a campaign flyer.
But as far as the recipients of this money, obviously we have, for TV ads, we have the TV stations themselves selling airtime. Yes. In print ads, we have commercial printers.
That's correct.
But there have to be ad agencies, for example, that are presumably physically crafting these things.
Yes, that are feeding off this beast.
TV production companies.
Yeah, so it's good for them. It's jobs. It's good for the city of Chicago. Any kind of expenditure that puts people to work, I applaud. I would just urge everybody to ignore the message, throw it away, or be entertained by it. Don't believe anything you read that just comes across. I mean, come on.
What?
You got to be smarter than that, Chicago.
We talked recently about the ability of an incumbent to stave off challengers to challenge a candidate's nominating petition. So having a large campaign, what they call war chest, allows one to have the staff and the attorneys who can comb through an opponent's nominating petition signatures mm-hmm. and challenge. That takes time and money. So the more money you have, the more you can do it.
Yes. And conversely, to fend off a challenge. I mean, Mayor Rahm, if you recall, when he ran in 2010, he was challenged. His residency was never revealed who the brains and the finance behind that challenge was. Most people assumed that it was Alderman Ed Burke. That was a serious challenge, and it cost candidate Emanuel time and money and energy to successfully fend it off. If he wasn't fortified with lots of campaign money, he might have not been successful.
Might not be the mayor now. The road not taken.
Yes, we had Mayor Chico, I believe, would have been the mayor. Yeah.
Some have suggested that the ability for people to vote early has increased the amount of campaign expenditures because before, if you just had one voting day, a campaign could target its advertising to hit just before the election. Okay. And now the campaign knows that as far as, what is it, like a month ahead of time, people can vote. Yeah. And so arguably the campaign feels a need to saturate throughout that period. What do you think of that?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. Who told you that?
I don't know. I got it from the ether somewhere.
Okay. Was it Amy Goodman?
No.
I always blame it on her.
Definitely not.
It was a Green Party person who came up with that.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I actually don't know if it's true. I'd have to do some kind of study, which I wouldn't be able to do because I've thrown away all my flyers to see when the campaign flyer season begins. Is it starting earlier now than it used to? Look, it's become so sophisticated. I've joked about this, that now they do target flyers just for women, for instance. So in a house where you have a man and a woman living, the woman is the only one who gets the flyer. And I always joke, what, I don't count? My wife counts, the only one that matters. I don't get to vote. Or conversely, I'm not going to see it. You know what I mean?
I've heard stats around that women generally vote more than men.
Is that true?
I don't know if it's true, but I've heard it suggested.
No, you're talking about checking books out of a library.
Aren't they the same
You're talking
thing?
About yoga. You're getting all your stats mixed up. Quick, call Amy Goldman. See what she says. In my family, for what it's worth, I have always been the guru leading women. Okay, I'm the one. They come to me for advice.
You're
mothers,
an outlier.
Sisters, daughters, wife, everybody. Ben, who? How do I vote?
You're not the typical American family, I don't think. What about Rahm Emanuel's ability to fund aldermanic campaigns? And I say this in light of the recent move by the city council to strip the city's legislative inspector general, Faisal Khan, of his ability to investigate aldermanic campaign contributions. So, again, having a large campaign war chest enables somebody like Emanuel to aid those aldermen, reward those aldermen who he thinks will go along with him in the future.
That is absolutely correct. That's why I urge the voters of Chicago to be vigilant regards to how their alderman votes. I mean, there's two issues with aldermen. There's one, the issue of providing local services or overseeing the bureaucracies that provide local services. And then there's the larger legislative performance. You know, how does he or she use whatever limited power he or she has in the city council to force the mayor into making deals that are looking out for the best interests of Chicagoans? I would say that as a whole, the city council gets a big fat F in that latter category, and there's maybe eight aldermen, Scott Wagsback, Fioretti, Arena, Leslie Hairston, Sawyer, folks who've actually dared to stand up to the mayor on these issues like a parking meter deal or a hair contract. If you want to vote for the latter deal, you shouldn't vote for your incumbent unless he's one of those eight. It's that pretty simple. It's not that complicated.
Ben's advice for voting, don't vote for an incumbent.
Well, no, I didn't say that. You've misquoted me as always. You can't trust the press.
Wait,
goddamn,
let's play it back.
Wait, we just rewound it.
So what did you say?
Geez, I can't remember what I said. It was all those gummy bears I ate. How can I remember anything? No, I'm saying
what did you mean?
I'm saying that if there's eight aldermen in the council, so you would vote for incumbent if they're one of those eight.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. He sits corrected. Say the magic words. I was wrong and you were right.
I was wrong. You were right.
I love it when he says that.
And you could play that back as many times as you want.
Okay. I'm going to get a t-shirt.
Well, Ben, that's all we've got time for.
Oh, no, I was really enjoying myself.
I'm glad to hear it.
Can we do that I was wrong and you were right thing again?
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, we can hit you up every time there's new audio reporting on Inside Chicago Government. Here's how. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or go to our website and subscribe. Search for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.